Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Oh, you know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Friday. So good. I'm a hero to Millennial Ben, who was pining on Twitter for me to bring a McDonald's breakfast for the fellas. And I did.
You did.
And you're not going to partake? Come on now.
You don't get this
I like
chubby.
You a lot.
You don't get this chubby by refusing to eat McDonald's. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not eating right now.
Come on. You got to get in there.
You think?
Because Millennial Ben will eat five.
All right. Let that be.
He needs
to eat five.
Go ahead. Let that
Welcome to it. Happy Friday. And it's an Is It Just Me Friday where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend. It can be about anything and everything. Just hit us up on the ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Is it just me or before this show just started, Mark said, it's a Friday. You know what that means? We got to get loose.
Yeah.
So, music to my ears.
Right.
You saying you want to get a little loose.
Yeah, you got to get loose, a little rough around the edges.
You know,
it's a Friday, have a little fun, you know, talk some sports.
By the way, before we go any further, is it just me or did I meet maybe your biggest fan yesterday?
Really?
Yes. So,
do tell.
Was out getting the wife's, car oil change.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Important.
Way overdue. So I was at
No, really?
Yeah, way overdue.
So I was at
Stevenson Lexus in Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And their concierge there. They have a very nice service department.
Right.
They have their own concierge.
Yeah, right. You can get coffee in there and they got snacks.
Whatever you need. Oh, they had so good.
Right, like granola bars.
Granola bars? Dude, I walked in and they had like...
Donuts.
Like big donuts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, big donuts, bags of chips, candy.
Mm.
And it took all of my willpower. I just got a little thing of some peanuts. That's about it.
Mm.
Anyway.
Okay.
Met a guy named JD who runs
JD.
It. Big fan of yours.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about the Hall of Fame and Broncos have gone in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he said, you tell Mr. Schlereth. He called you Mr. Schlereth.
Wow.
I said, only poolside gets called Mr. Schlereth.
Right, exactly.
He said,
he obviously has never met me.
you tell Mr. Schlereth that I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. There you go.
Now, wasn't there a time, I defended you by saying, I think there was a time where you were making the top 50 cut.
Yeah.
For a time there.
Yeah, I did for several years.
Yeah.
But that, you know, I mean that.
But then when you didn't make it into the top 25.
Right.
You got bumped off the ballot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not ever going to happen.
No. But he also said that in his humble opinion.
No, you don't have to say no so quickly. You can think it, you can pause for a second.
Well,
so
no.
You pause for a second.
How are you all of a sudden going to turn back up on the ballot?
Because I spent enough time on TV.
Good point.
Right.
Good point.
Listen, how did Bill Cowher go in before Mike Shanahan?
Good point.
How did Jimmy Johnson go in before Mike Shanahan?
Good point.
Why? Because they're on TV all the time.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't know if Terrell Davis gets in without his
television career.
Yeah.
It helps, man. There's no question about how much that helps.
So he, in his humble opinion, he believes that the offensive line was the MVP of both Super Bowls.
Yeah, I agree with him on that.
I know. I figured you would.
Should have been. If you think about it, I mean, the Super Bowl 32. You think about what happened there. Going into that whole thing, and I don't have any problem with TD getting it, but going into that whole game, it was the whole contest or the whole talk, the 13-point underdogs was their D-line is too big, their D-line, they can't block them, that offensive line is too small, it's the smallest in the league versus the biggest D-line in the league, Reggie White is man-beasting people, you know, blah, 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 And we went in and dispensed justice.
You did.
And so, you know, I mean, I think we should, I think they should have, I think it should have been, yeah, but I'll give it to TD. He had 157 yards in three quarters because he essentially missed a quarter with a migraine.
Is it just me or are the fellows in the afternoon possibly, going to have to eat a little bit of crow? So when we did our two dudes free agent list.
Yes. The ultimate dudes two dude draft.
You said Jack Conklin.
Right.
Was
right.
One of the guys that you believed that the Broncos would sign, should sign.
Yeah, and they definitely should be looking in that direction. Now, I actually don't think a lot of these guys, I think free agent, like, I think that there's going to be some franchise tags or transition tags and some of those things that are going to happen. That some of these guys are not going to be, they're not going to be on the open market. But continue, please.
Anyway, the afternoon guys, especially D-Mac, said, a right. Tackle?
Right.
Well, you're already paying Juwan James, and you get Garrett Bowles. Now you got to pay a tackle, too?
Right.
You know? So NFL.com put together their best free agent matchmaking.
Yeah. Kind of their best free agent fits.
Yes, best free agent fits for every NFL team. And guess who they picked for the Broncos?
Oh, who? Please do tell.
Jack Conklin.
Oh, weird.
Here we go. Here's what they say. Denver has failed to produce a capture-the-imagination attack since Peyton Manning sat at the controls. Quarterback issues stirred years of malaise. But don't ignore this ill nugget. No Broncos offensive lineman has earned a Pro Bowl bid since Ryan Clady in 2014. Cash and high draft picks have been spent up front, but troubles persist. First-rounder Garrett Bowles has underwhelmed at left tackle, collecting holding flags like it's a hobby. Across the way, right tackle.
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
Across the way, right tackle Juwan James saw last season detonated by injury after landing as a big-money free agent. It's frustrating to apply endless resources to one area, but darkness will linger until the line clicks. Conklin won't come cheap, but he's coming off a stellar campaign and would give the Broncos a low-risk bookend to build around for years to come. With newbie Drew Lock under center, building a five-man unit of maulers is a must for John Elway and friends.
Ah.
Darkness will linger.
Mm. To linger.
They're going to linger in darkness.
Uh-huh.
Should send them a pajamagram.
That's right. Nudies.
Nudies. Unlike lingering in a pair of nudies.
There you go, baby. Woo!
Or just get butt naked.
What
do you mean?
We are off and rolling. So send us your Is It Just Me's.
Just remember, though, D-Mac was also the guy that said, you can't draft a guy that you haven't talked to. Nobody drafts a guy that you haven't talked to. You got to talk to a guy before you draft him. There's no way they're going to take Bradley Chubb because they didn't talk to him. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. I think that was exactly the way it came out, as I recall.
8 minutes in, getting loose. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
Tell you what, that Scott's a hub. He's a hard charger.
Oh, he is. He is.
Because he heard us talking in the first segment about, you know, how there was a time where you were getting some Hall of Fame consideration, that you were at least making the top 50 list.
Yeah.
Then when it was pared down to like 25, and so you unfortunately got cut.
Didn't make the cut.
But there was a time that, you know, you were in the running. You were in the mix.
Yeah.
You were a contender.
I know.
And I'm shocked that you are not in the Hall of Fame after what, was this the first Super Bowl? This was the first Super Bowl with the Broncos?
No, this is the second one.
This is the second one that, I guess CBS was covering, right? So it was Pat Summerall and John Madden?
Correct.
And, well, listen to what John Madden had to say about
all right,
our man's there.
Isn't Schlereth something, though?
Yeah.
I mean, he is so strong. And Mark Schlereth is one of those guys that has great big arms and shoulders and very, very strong hands. And when he gets his hands on you, you are blocked.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Wow. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, John Madden loved me. Do you ever have chat? Do you ever talk to him when he was like? Would he come down on the field before a game? Would he search you out? Would you search him out?
No, I don't think that I ever did a production meeting with John Madden. I don't know that I ever talked to John. I don't know that I ever talked to John. But he just liked me because of that exactly that because you know I still am strong. Freak show.
Okay.
Your clothes. Give them to me. Now.
You guys want to sell tickets?
Okay.
Come watch me do some feats of strength?
All right. Well, you know,
I should have my own circus show.
Okay. We try.
I could have a circus show. Yeah.
Try to do something nice.
What's that going to sound like?
A little touching.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go and act like that.
I'm just telling you that I'm not surprised.
Try to pay you a compliment.
Right.
And you gotta take it there.
You people have to understand how good I was. Like John. He understood.
What do you mean, you people?
So, yeah, we could, you know, sell tickets to feed, we could do it for charity. I mean, you know, you could raise some money for charity.
For charity.
Beats of strength.
Come see the bearded strong man.
Yeah. Exactly.
He can bend things.
What?
And lift things too.
What would my outfit look like though? Because back in the day, you know, you had like the unitard.
Yeah, no, you need singlet. Some kind of Nacho Libre type thing going for you.
A singlet, but I want just the one shoulder strap on the singlet. Yeah, like Andre the Giant singlet strap.
Covering one boobie.
Yeah. One jubbly hanging out. Just greased up like Ramses.
He's the best. Ramses' arms, they're the best. I want a queen!
Yeah. Just looking like Ramses.
Wait, who's going to rub you down then?
No, that's your job, Scott. You are rubbing the oil.
Schlereth's arms are the best.
Schlereth's arms are the best.
Schlereth's shoulders are the best.
Yeah. Gonna get all the free creams and lotions.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
We
should have that sound on a loop of John just praising me. Madden just praising me.
Yeah.
Do you want that as your ringtone?
Isn't Schlereth something, though?
Yeah.
I mean, he is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Schlereth is one of those guys that has great big arms and shoulders and very, very strong hands. And when he gets his hands on you, you are blocked.
That's true. The problem was, is getting my hands on you.
Hey, get over here.
Get over here, you. Crazy little kid.
Did that follow by what's that drop in Rocky? Whatever, what was it, Millennial Ben? Whatever he touches,
whatever he hits, he destroys. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a Rocky breath, right? From Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago. Whatever he hits, he destroys.
Whatever he hits, he destroys. I don't know.
Speaking of a classic movie drop. Oh, wait until you hear what we have set up for you in the Morning Brew.
Oh, yes.
I assume you guys got something.
Yeah.
Mike, I had to watch half the movie to get that stupid cut.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Above and beyond
for Scott Zahoff.
I get an award. Thank you, Shakira. She knows.
She knows. So, is it just me or this collective bargaining agreement
that
the NFL owners quickly gave the thumbs up? Hey, looks like a good deal to us.
Yeah.
Right away, NFL players are like, no, J.J. Watt said, basically on Twitter, you gotta be kidding me. So here's the big kicker. This is rich. This is awesome. Okay, so they're talking about a 17 game season.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what would come in this new CBA, 17 game season. But the owners are proposing that all players who play in all 17 regular season games,
mm-hmm.
but have contracts covering 16 games, would be paid for the additional game, but that extra game check would be capped
at $250,000.
Right.
Now.
Right.
Now you're listening to that going, wow, go out and play one football game for $250,000? Not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for example, take Rams quarterback Jared Goff. The cash contract value for 2020 is $31 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
Dividing that by 17 would still put Goff in the neighborhood of $1.8 million for an extra game check.
Right, right.
But under this proposal, he doesn't get $1.8 million extra. He gets $250,000
extra. Where have you?
It's crazy money.
Right.
But try to manage the numbers in a way that would maybe apply to normal people, and right. You can start to understand why people would be upset. Players would be upset.
Absolutely. I mean, now listen, if you're a rookie and you're making a minimum wage of, you know, 500 grand, 495, whatever it is, and you get an extra 250, that's awesome, right? Half my salary goes in for one game. Or no, they wouldn't get the 250. It's capped at 250. So you get your regular game check. So you get another $8,000 or $4,000 or whatever it is. Yeah, that is, again, like I said yesterday, until you clearly define what revenue is and you don't let the owners have a bunch of outs on revenue because the 100% of the revenue, it's a 47 to 50, whatever that math is, 53 split, right? But it's not on 100% of the revenue because they hold out certain portions of the revenue in the last collective bargaining agreement that don't pertain, like that aren't part of what the split pie is because it's for stadium reconstruction and it's for this and it's for that. And so, you know, you're negotiating your 100% revenue is negotiated on let's call it 75% of the revenue actually made. So you're getting 47% of the 75, not 47% of the 100. I mean, the whole thing is, but it's hard. It's like it's like giving your kids a curfew of midnight and then all of a sudden saying, hey, you've had that for 2 years, but now you got to be in at 10:30. Like the players have given it up. And now they're like, no, we're going to stand strong. No, you're not. But that whole thing is like the cap at $250,000. How many guys make $1 million a game plus?
Right.
A bunch of them.
But that would seem to me that as much as the Players Association tends to roll over in these talks, that might be one that would galvanize enough players to say, that's just going too far.
But here's the deal. The owners when it comes to, there's a reason they're billionaires because they're really good at this. That may be one thing all of a sudden they acquiesce on because they don't want to give you lifetime insurance. They don't want to give you guaranteed contracts. They don't want to give you anything. So they make something ridiculous like this and they say, hey, okay, guys, we give. We'll cede that point. You get your game check. And everybody goes, woohoo, woohoo. And you're still only getting 47% of 75% of the money, right? Like that's how they do it. That is nothing but a dangling carrot. That's low hanging fruit for you to bite on.
Does anybody want the CU football coaching job? Morning Brew is next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet
Let's get it on.
In each of those discussions has been open dialogue. It's been thoughtful. I think we've addressed difficult issues that face our league going forward and looking forward. And I think both the players and management and everyone in the negotiation have worked to try to find creative solutions to make the NFL better.
Ah, that was Roger Goodell, the commish, back during the Super Bowl and kumbaya. And everything's good.
Right.
Well, yeah, everything's great for the owners. But, man, I don't know whether to condemn or applaud the owners for just their sheer brazen attitude here when it comes to
this
17th game. So they quickly approved the collective bargaining agreement that they came up with, that they proposed. They approved it. But the players right away are like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And the big bone of contention here is that they're talking about a 17th game, but the most a player can make if they are under a 16-game contract,
mm-hmm.
the most they can make for playing that extra game is $250,000, which to you and me is a exorbitant amount of money. But if you're a player who, for example, is making in the neighborhood of $1.8 million per game through the first 16,
yeah.
you're going to be asked to go play that extra 17th game for $250,000.
Right. Oh, by the way, you already take a significant, most players take a significant pay cut to play in the playoffs. But I'm sure the owners are giving the networks a huge discount on that 17th game.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Right.
We're not charging them nearly as much.
Of course not.
Of the $1 billion we're charging the network, only $250 million come in that 17th game, Bert. Whatever. Did I even do the math right? Math is hard. Just
probably not. Next on the Morning Brew.
Really gritty, tough win, ugly win. But, you know, in February, you take them where you can get them. And sometimes you have to try to win games ugly when you don't play your best. You know, USC, I thought, was terrific tonight.
Tad Boyle's Buffs march on. Hard fought, 70-66 win last night over USC at the Coors Events Center. And we'll get to the story about the CU football coaching search, but with all of the turmoil surrounding the football team, it really shines a very positive light on Tad Boyle, who has been there for years, has run a clean program, a very well-run program. But it's time for this program under Tad Boyle to go out and actually do something in the tournament. And watching this team play, man, Mark, this is a team that is constructed to be able to do some damage in the NCAA tournament. They got a terrific point guard. They have good outside shooting. They have good size. They have depth. They have good coaching. To me, they're no longer, you know, the little basketball program that could. It's time for them to deliver, for Tad Boyle to deliver in March Madness. To me, this should be at least a Sweet 16 team.
Which would be awesome, wouldn't it? I mean, isn't that what, I mean, if you get a Sweet 16, that's, that would be great. You've been up there. You've watched them play.
Oh, they're a terrific team.
Right.
I really want to say they're an Elite Eight type team. That's, you got to get kind of lucky, you know, once you start to talk about that kind of territory. But they are, for sure, they should be a Sweet 16 team.
That'd be all. If they made it a Sweet 16, that would be awesome.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We're excited about the upward trajectory of our program, and we're already at work identifying the next head coach to lead our program and our young men. I met with our players and coaching staff this morning. We reassured them that we will match their commitment and do everything in our power to hire a great new head coach that they can all rally behind.
That is CU Athletic Director Rick George. Does anybody want the football job? Our insider Mike Kliss reporting that Eric Bieniemy, who appeared to be CU's top choice, that's what we were hearing as well, Bieniemy turned down the job. Steve Sarkisian, who appeared to be the second top choice, he got paid to stay at Alabama as their offensive coordinator. So they also floated out Brett Bielema.
Brett Bielema.
Earlier this week, but that didn't seem to create enough buzz. So, you know, they're still hoping that maybe Troy Calhoun wants to take the job. But I wonder how much of that is Calhoun just using CU to gain more leverage with Air Force.
There was a report last night. I don't know if you saw this. I saw it on Twitter. That they're thinking about Coach Dolan.
Coach Dolan?
Yeah. Coach Dolan.
Coach Dolan?
Yes.
I
don't know where Coach Dolan has been ever since, you know, Red Dawn.
Red Dawn, the remake.
Yeah, the remake. So I don't know what he's doing right now.
30 seconds left. Just
but you can tell just by this clip. Picture him up at Folsom Field doing this.
You gotta stop with the Cowboys.
Colt's going. I mean, there's no question. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Listen to his leader's team right here.
You gotta stop the clock.
Yeah.
Field goal, Archer.
Come on, let me go for it.
You gotta be kidding me. Field goal. Come on.
Kicker, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Because the podcast was
holding
website.
Guys accountable.
Person in that podcast.
No, sir.
Yeah, but you know what a podcast is, which makes you able to relate to today's players.
That's right. And I can text with emojis. I've even got the one emoji where you put both your hands up like, I don't know. Like, I've got that emoji. So,
speaking of staying current, you see that Philip Lindsay was at the CU game. It looks like he brought his grandfather. Oh, that's Vic Fangio. Sorry.
Did they go together?
They're sitting next to each other. I don't know.
Did they ride the, what's the thing called?
RTD?
Is it RTD?
Yeah.
Rapid Transit?
Or light rail. Light rail. Light rail. I don't know.
In San Francisco.
LA was at the game too.
They call it, they call it the fart in San Francisco, right? Frisco area rapid transit? The fart?
The fart.
What is it here in Denver? The dart?
Yeah,
very rapid transit.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You got a problem, man.
I got a lot of problems. So what?
You can't hold your mud. You're a bleeder, and I like to see blood.
Yeah, how about your arm?
60 seconds on the mat, and you're dog meat.
Woo! Oh!
Woo! You're a bleeder.
I'm gonna watch that movie this weekend.
In honor
of the Colorado High School Wrestling Championships, which kicked off at Pepsi Center.
Mm-hmm.
We give you a little bit of Vision Quest. To me, the best wrestling movie ever made.
I don't know of any other wrestling movie ever made.
Probably not.
Oh, yeah, Nacho Libre, right?
Well, I mean,
Vision Quest was awesome. It was shot in Spokane. I have hung out at most of the places that were shoots walking up the steps with the log. That was shot at Joe Albee Stadium, where Madonna was singing The Onion. I've had plenty of beverages at The Onion. I mean, I've been all over that city. They miscast that, though. I should have been Matthew Modine?
Yeah.
Yeah. That should have been me.
That should have been you. So Chassa sent out a tweet yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Announcing, alerting people to the fact that the high school wrestling championships are going on, which
yeah.
I think is an amazing event.
Oh, it's incredible.
And I retweeted saying that Alaska State champion wrestler Mark Schlereth should be invited as some sort of like grand marshal or honorary referee or something like that.
Grand poobah of all things wrestling.
Did you have like a signature wrestling move that you used on your opponent?
Oh yes,
really?
Did it have like a
name or something like that?
What was your
go to move?
I did this over under lateral drop. We should do a video of it.
Yeah, let's
I
use. Could,
I don't want to. Well, I would hurt Scott's hip maybe, and
Ben, you might just crack in half.
Ben, I land on
Millennial Ben, a lot tougher than I thought.
We might have to have him surgically removed from my gut. Like, he would be like, what was the movie Total Recall with the little guy that was inside the other dude's shirt? Like, could Ben do the show? Like, if he was permanently attached to my...
You're like rib cage or something.
Yeah, he just. What was that guy? What was the little dude's name in that? Do you remember?
I do remember.
You remember? He was all
married.
He was all like juicy.
Consider that a divorce.
What was that little guy's name? It wasn't like a Yoda little character.
Yeah, I know the dude's exactly chest. Who you're talking about.
Yeah, I got to figure out that guy's name. Our texters will.
Hey, Schwartz.
No, it wasn't him.
No, it wasn't him.
Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Where should the Broncos go when it comes to targeting free agents? We've all weighed in this week. Let's hear from our man Cecil Lammy next.
Mark regaling me with his stories of winning a state championship in Alaska wrestling.
Yeah, so
you most of your matches ended in about like less than 20 seconds.
Less than a minute.
Yeah,
most of my matches.
So what would you do?
It was the over under lateral drop, and as soon as you hit the mat, I would already be into a Saturday Night Ride. I'd have both legs locked, whop, and ain't no getting. Hey,
you
ain't
not.
No get. Oh, when I arch the back in the Saturday Night Ride. Oh, I mean, you're done. You're pinned.
Oh.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Ride.
Yeah, it was good for my feet. I was not good. I was not a good wrestler.
But you were just strong. You mauled.
I was a really good athlete, and I was really good on my feet, and I was really good on the bottom. You couldn't hold me down. So I could always get, like, I could turn it into a takedown match where I take
Don't
you down. I could
cut
let
off
you up.
Cecil
two
like
for
that.
One. A 2-for-1 takedown match. I could take you down, let you up, take you down, let you up, take you down, let you up, and beat you that way.
Wow.
But usually I just pinned you.
You could torment people if you wanted to.
Tease them.
Yes, nobody cuts off Cecil Lammy, Peyton
right,
Manning.
It's true.
And Cecil joins us for his weekly visit. Cecil, were you a wrestler at all? Were you a grappler?
No, in my high school, of course, very small high school, you had to choose to play basketball or be a wrestler. Wrestlers were the worst guys to fight, though. Don't ever fight a wrestler in high school because you get your ass kicked by those guys.
Yeah. Yep. That was the same thing in my high school. You had to either wrestle or you had to play basketball. My football coaches made me wrestle, which was probably the best decision ever. And you look at the NFL. It's really interesting. Look at the NFL. How many really good NFL players have wrestling backgrounds? There's a lot of teams that actually look for a wrestling background. Ray Lewis was a wrestler. Remember Roddy White, the receiver from Atlanta, who was a Pro Bowl player? He was a wrestler. A lot of offensive and defensive linemen, wrestlers. Remember Stephen Neal? He was a college wrestler that the New England Patriots took, and he became a Pro Bowl guard. So it's a part of a background that a lot of people look at. One of the things that
that's what you're looking at the combine too. Yeah. I think if I can jump in,
yeah,
I remember
please.
Alex Mack talking to him when he came out of college. He's one of the best centers in the league, and he was a great wrestler. And it's not just about wrestling, but it's about versatility. You know, it's about playing dual sports and then using that sport to kind of highlight what you can do, like your coaches did with your wrestling. I was just writing up tight ends for my combine preview at 104.3thefan.com, and I'm looking at former basketball player and offensive tackle, by the way, Harrison Bryant from Florida Atlantic, who I think is the best tight end in this draft class. And he was a multiple position guy in high school, obviously from offensive tackle to tight end, and he was also a basketball player. What do you look in these guys' background? Do they have that versatility, that different, you know, muscle skill set, muscle memory, if you will? So it's very important, especially now at the combine, where teams are looking into guys' background and they're trying to find those wrestlers who then became offensive linemen or those basketball players who then became tight ends. It's very important. One of the reasons why we hear this all the time, but anyone out there with a high school athlete in their house, like, get them in multiple sports. Because just specializing in one sport is not the way to, quote-unquote, make it if you're a young player wanting to play at the pro level.
Talking about the combine, we know how seriously you take the whole scouting of NFL players and getting ready for the draft and all that stuff. You go to the Senior Bowl. You go to the Shrine Game. You go to the combine. Do you agree with the Broncos' decision not to send their coaches to the combine?
1,000%, because here's what happens at the combine. Everyone goes out, has a great time, puts in the work, and then they go have dinner and drinks. And when they have dinner and drinks, they might go well into the, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Let's go to Shake Shack, right? It's 3 a.m. in Indianapolis. It happens. And also what happens there is loose lips. People start talking. So for me, it's about just intel. Basically, the intelligence that you can pick up on the road from talking to people. But I also know people, and this sounds horrible, but I do know people that go so they can just eavesdrop on conversations that are happening in Indianapolis. And these guys are getting blasted and they're having fun. And, you know, maybe somebody reveals something about the draft plan that they shouldn't. And I'm not saying that the Broncos assistant coaches would do that. And good thing they're not sending those lushes. I'm not saying anything like that because obviously they're not that. They're very hardworking men. But the smaller footprint that you have, the less likely that it is for one of your plans to get out there just because that's what happens in Indy. We're all adults. We can talk about it. Plus, I also think that I want my scouts to scout. I want my coaches to coach. I want kind of a separation of church and state. I don't think it's a big deal. I think people that are making a big deal out of it are incredibly wrong. I think this is the wave of the future. And this is a right move for the Denver Broncos. Hey, listen, we got guys that are going to buy the groceries. We got guys that are going to do the cooking. So go get the groceries. And when we show up with all this talent, you coach it up. That's what the Broncos are going to do.
I think there's one other factor there is go ahead and pour through that college tape and make sure you aren't tainted or biased based upon somebody's workout. So,
right.
You know, you can get as a coach, you can get enamored with talent and basically explain away bad football play. Well, he wasn't coached right, or hey, if we just get him to take this step, or hey, we'll, you know, I mean, Garrett Bowles, hey, I know he's unbelievably talented, unbelievably athletic, but hey, you know what? I know the penalties were an issue, but once we coach him up, he's going to be fine, right?
And I'll get into the nitpicking time of the year, right? This is when you have to look at guys like Henry Ruggs. And I've been watching a lot of Henry Ruggs because he's in every mock draft as the Broncos pick when people aren't picking Josh Jones, who's riding off his Senior Bowl hype, by the way, and not off of his tape. But when I look at Henry Ruggs, there's a little bit more tech in there than I like. Everyone says, oh, he's Tyreek Hill. Look at this speed. And yes, Henry Ruggs, he's going to run a 4.2 something. I don't know what that something is, but it's going to be 4.2 something from Henry Ruggs. People are going to go nuts. Alabama, look at this playmaker, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill fights for the ball. Tyreek Hill comes back to the ball. And while I like Henry Ruggs and I agree that he's a first-round talent, there's just some times where he's waiting on the ball, where he won't go up and fight for it, have that my ball mentality that scouts love. So I wholeheartedly agree with you, Stink. Like, don't get caught up in these workouts. This is about interviews. This is about medical. That's it. The workouts are just dotting I's and crossing T's. Nobody should be falling in love about what these guys do in their underwear.
Yeah.
Well, all right, said. Cecil, great well stuff. Said. We'll check out everything you got going on at 104.3 The Fan and listen for you over the weekend. Thank you.
Be good, fellas.
Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Coming up, who's Gilligan? Who's the skipper? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.